All right, turn your Bible, please, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Anyone have the plaque in their home? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Anyone have that in their home? Have some? Yeah, thank you. All right, wonderful saying, and that we'll be looking at in a minute. So, verse 15. And by the way, the word serve is used 17 times in this chapter. 17 times plus Joshua is called the servant of the Lord. So 18 times the word service or servant is used in this passage or in this chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse 15 again, and we're going down through verse 31. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwelled. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Joshua, a little bit of cynicism here, said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. The people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, the stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us, and it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. This morning, I want to talk to you about, for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How are you going with your New Year's resolution. If you don't do it, it's no big deal to me, that's fine, but I think a lot of us are like this one here. My resolution this year is to be less controlling. You should write that down. I think that's how consistent we are sometimes with our resolutions. This morning, though, I want to talk to you. So we did Psalm 23 last year, and we talked about the Lord being our shepherd. And this morning, I thought it right and good for us to start the year reviewing that and thinking about the fact that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, part of the reason I didn't put this as a memory verse, it's a verse that I put mostly to memory as I was growing up. But if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if it seem harmful, if it seems like it's not the thing to do, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me ask you, as a young person, is it your heart's desire to serve the Lord? Joshua knew that he didn't have long to go. Let me ask you, senior saints, is it your heart to serve the Lord? And for all of us in between, can we say that it's our heart to serve the Lord? What does it mean to serve? What does it mean to serve? Well, first of all, a servant is one that does the will of another. It's a person that does the will of another. Serving includes aligning our values and allegiance of purpose. In the New Testament, we'll look at these verses in a minute, it talks about servants, obey your bosses. At work, the people we work for expect us to align our values to the company's values, whether it be about being on time or not stealing or taking good care of company stuff. We align our values, we care about the things that the company cares for. When serving the Lord, we align our values with the Lord's values. And as we find that our values are not measuring up to His values, we adjust them. And as we see our allegiance, I was reading something the other day that talks about it's our nature to drift. It's our nature to if we don't put effort into pursuing the Lord, it's our nature to drift. We have to check, okay, now how is my relationship with the Lord? It's something we need to keep tabs on. So first of all, two concerns about this verse. Number one is that it's an Old Testament command. Some people get a little bit over the top concerned, and we'll be talking about it when we go back into our book study in 2 Timothy chapter 3. About the importance of all Scripture. But some people say, well, this is an Old Testament command. The Lord is telling, Joshua said, you choose, the children of Israel, you choose. And they don't think that it applies to us. And I understand there's things for the children of Israel that don't apply to us. But time and time again, other verses in the Old Testament, like Deuteronomy 10:12, says, now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his way, to love him, and to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all thy soul. So the Lord, he wanted the children of Israel to serve him. Psalm 100, this was almost our Bible reading, but I needed the help in Joshua. Psalm 100, five verses that just focus your attention on the Lord. And he says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You ever worked somewhere that you didn't want to be? You ever worked, you know, it makes it that much harder. If you don't want to do the work, if you don't want to be there, it just makes doing the work that much harder. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Paul in the New Testament, switching to the New Testament now, it's not just an Old Testament theme. Paul says he considered himself a servant. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He did the will. He was aligned. He was focused on pleasing the Lord, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. There's more than one book that begins like that. Philippians 1:1 is another. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. So time and time again in Scripture, even in the New Testament, we see this theme of serving the Lord in Acts chapter 20. Paul said that serving the Lord is not always easy. If you're going to serve the Lord, and just let me mention, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to align yourself with His values. You're going to want to do things His way. You want to listen to Him. Sometimes it's not going to come easy. And Paul said, you know what? I served the Lord with humility. I served the Lord with test, with tears. It wasn't easy. But Paul said that he served the Lord. And may I just mention that serving the Lord is not always going to be easy? In fact, sometimes it's going to be very difficult. Loving, when we love others that aren't loving to us, when we are going through painful situations, that's difficult. Paul says, remember in Acts 27 when he was on the boat, they had been out in the sea hadn't seen the sun for a few days, a lot of days. And he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul said, you know what? There's a lot of troubles. There's a lot of difficulties, but I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. He's with me through the difficult problems. He's with me no matter what's going on. Romans chapter 12. Wonderful verse to memorize. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then in Romans 12:11, he said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Get to it. Get to work. Don't do anything for the Lord haphazardly or half-heartedly. Whatever you do, do for the Lord with all your heart. This is what we were talking about earlier, about the servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Basically, that's just saying, if you work for somebody, you got a boss, that's your master. Don't just serve them. Don't just do the right thing when they're watching. Paul says, not with eye service, not just when they're watching as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. So do what you know to be doing because you're wanting to please the Lord. So serving the Lord is not just a vertical relationship. It is a horizontal relationship too. It's us at work. It's us at home. It's us at school. It's us with whomever we're interacting with. So Paul, again, notices, you know, it's sometimes hard. The second problem is this, that sometimes when you say you need to serve the Lord, that people say, well, let me see if I can earn my way to heaven. Now, if you're here this morning and you're trying to be good enough to go to heaven, you're not going to be. Not one thing. all the sins you've already done separate you from God. Just our sinful nature does that. Sometimes people think, well, if I serve the Lord with enough oomph, if I visit enough homes, and other religions do this, if I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. You know what? That's not what serving the Lord is about. Remember when Jesus was ministering and a certain ruler came to him and he said, "Good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Do all these things." And the guy spoke out and he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. I've done all these wonderful things." And then the Lord hit his covetous need. Yeah, you haven't, you've loved money, you're loving money. We all come up short. In fact, it is God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. The word worshipped is the word, our word for served. God doesn't need anything that we give him. He's not waiting on us to bring him breakfast. He's not waiting on us. If we don't want to serve him, you know, it breaks his heart, but he'll just find someone else. The Lord doesn't depend on us like we depend on him. He made the world. It's all his. So when we serve the Lord, it's not because we're trying to hold the Lord over a barrel. Well, Lord, I've done this for you. You've got to bless me. It's not that way at all. In fact, it goes back down to, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The next verse talks about, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, that's why we serve, because we know him as Savior. Then 1 Thessalonians 1:9, our last verse with this part. Paul said, you know what? You changed when you trusted Christ as Savior. You went from serving dead idols, things that couldn't give peace, things that couldn't actually talk, things that couldn't hear your prayer request. You turn from them to serve the true and living God. You're serving the true and living God. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to turn to him. So in no way is the Lord wanting us to earn points by serving him. Then we see the context of these verses. The context of these verses. This is Joshua's final speech before this is to everybody. This is him preaching to the elders, at least, of the congregation and of all the tribes. And at the end of it, they all go home. They all go home to their separate inheritances. And this is just a really big deal that he's saying now. He had led them through victory after victory after victory after victory with some setbacks. As long as they were following the Lord, things went fine. But now the Lord had blessed Joshua's ministry and he said, well, it's time for me, the Lord, that's it. Should have noticed that in context, that in the verse, three times I think it is in this verse that we talk about serving. And it's evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the idea is that we're going to serve something. Each one of us, we're going to serve something. Now, we may not have the thing that we serve up on our door and we give it a kiss as we leave each day. We may not have that. or we may not do a certain ritual before it every day. But we all serve something, even if it's our own belly, as we'll look at in just a minute. Joshua referred them back and he said, guys, you remember Abraham? You remember where the Lord brought him from? Abraham was serving the moon god. He was serving the nightlife. And the god of the nightlife, the moon, it was supposed to be in control of just the tides and of the weather and of storms. And people actually worshiped that. He said, the Lord took you from that. And then there were the gods in Egypt. The people of Israel, the Egyptians, they had their gods. Some of the people were worshiping them, and the goal of the Lord the whole time was that they would serve Him, not all these other gods. Matthew 6:24 talks about the fact that the Lord says, you know what, we can't serve God and money. Does that mean that we can't have money? Absolutely not. But it means that we can't bow down to it. We can't let it mean everything in our lives. We can't put it first. We can't align our beliefs and what we owe to it, make it the most important thing in our life. That's got to be the Lord. The Lord said we can't worship money and the Lord too. Paul says that some people that cause divisions, some people who cause divisions, they're causing divisions. Why? But to serve their own belly, to serve their own purposes, to serve their own heart's desires. So each one of us, we're going to serve something. Now, the content of these verses, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he says this. What is the content? First of all, let's look at the verses around it. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And basically, he says the same thing in verse number 15. But he says, serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. Put Him first. Follow Him. And with the idea, serve the Lord with sincerity and truth, that's the every little area of life. Sometimes we want to serve the Lord with our church life. And that's good. Our being at church, that's great. But what about the sincerity and truth at home? Are we a totally different person when we get home than we are when we're at church? Or are we a totally different person when we're at work? Now, I know you get focused. That's not what I mean. I know when you're working, you're there to work. But do we somehow think that it's okay to not act like we know the Lord when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're at home, when we're playing sport? He says, serve the Lord in sincerity. Let every aspect of your life show that you're choosing the Lord. That's what Joseph did. Think of the number of times that after Joseph said, hey, brothers, I've got a dream for you. The Lord's revealed to me that you guys are going to be bowing down to me. Mom, Dad, too. Everybody's going to be bowing down to me. Let's see what happens to this dreamer, they say. They sold him. They sold him. And he was in prison. The Lord blessed when he was in prison. He was lied about. You know what? He didn't stop. No matter what was going on, he didn't stop. You think about Daniel. You think about the three Hebrew children. All the different circumstances that these guys faced, they were willing to be faithful. Next thought I want to mention to you is that these verses, they tell us about choices. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. This is a verse about choices. I remember reading about a man going to see his pastor. He had really gone cold with the Lord. What the Lord had for him, he was just sort of ignoring. And he said, he went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I want to make things right with the Lord. And I want to start following him. What do I need to do? He said, well, that is wonderful. You know, you ask the Lord to forgive you. But this is what you need to do. You need to start with lots of little decisions. Lots of little decisions. That's how we walk away from the Lord, just little bit by little bit. And oftentimes it's us finding ourselves, well, okay, so let's do this. What about your Bible reading? Will you read God's Word this year? Will you make it a part of your life? Will you read some verses? Will you read a chapter, two chapters, three chapters, four chapters? Will you spend time in the Lord's Word? These are small steps. These are small choices. But it's a choice that we make one at a time. Another one. What if I have a bad time with my mouth, with my family, at work, at school? What can I do? Well, I can do this. If I hear something come out of my mouth, a small step is this. Sweetheart, I am sorry I said that way. Will you please forgive me? Small step. Small step. Next time, we might catch ourselves before we say that. Small step. When we get disappointed at work, instead of letting something that shouldn't come out of our mouth come out, that was disappointing. But the Lord knows. I know it feels good to say something you're not supposed to say. Even when we're mad at something, it feels good in the heart. Just the little things. The pastor suggested to this man, he said, just do take the little steps. You walked, sort of got away from the Lord with the little steps. Now get closer to the Lord. Watch your life. Choose you this day, today. Today, choose you this day. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Friday. I haven't forgotten the other days. You get the idea. And really, it's all the time of those days. You may have an appointment every Tuesday at 12 o'clock that you are around someone that just really drives you crazy. Ask the Lord to give you much grace today, that day. He's put you there. Choose you, this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, now we've talked about that, or the gods of the Amorites, basically the same gods but different. The gods of the Amorites included one that was willing to sacrifice their children, the worship of Molech. They were actually willing to sacrifice their children. Make a choice. Do you want to serve a god of the past, a god of the present? Can I just mention, do you have any gods of your past? It's amazing how they can come back. You trust the Lord as your Savior. You give Him your life. And then the old habits, they can creep back in. The old desires, they can creep back in. What about a situation in the past that was very hard? Are you going to worship that? Are you gonna worship that? Are you gonna go back to that? But that happened 35 years ago. And I know it would still be hurtful. We need to serve the Lord and ask Him to help us with those kind of things. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Why? And the people answered, yes, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Why? And he says, for the Lord, He's brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. Why should we serve the Lord? Because of His grace. His grace in our lives, His mercy in our lives. Not only that, He did great signs, His power in our lives. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then His presence. He's preserved us in all the way wherein we went. The Lord is present with us. And then notice the Lord's blessings, His grace, His goodness to them. He says, "And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." Can I just mention? I mentioned earlier that Joshua may have been using some cynicism with this. You know, sometimes the best way to tell someone, or the best way to encourage someone to do their best, is to tell them they can't. You can't do this. You can't do that. Yes, I can. Yes, we will. We're going to prove you wrong, buddy. You know what? I hope the Lord this morning has brought some things, some small steps to your thoughts to say, you know what? I want the Lord to be my Lord. I want to follow Him. I'm one of His. I'm going to follow Him. But I hope you'll have that resolve about you. And I know it's easy to quit. I know it's easy to turn back. I know it's easy to stop. I hope we'll have the resolve about us to say, you know what? I told the Lord I'd change this. By His grace, I'm going to. I told the Lord I was going to work on my temper. I told the Lord I was going to work on my words. I've told the Lord I was going to work on being a better worker, being on time. I'm going to, with Your help, I'm going to do these things. You know what? It's really cool. And all the people said unto Joshua, "We're going to serve the Lord." And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. They were committed to serving the Lord. So what does the Lord want us to do? First of all, he wants us to understand who we're serving. We're serving the Lord. We're serving the Lord. That's his covenant name. In fact, it's the same name that we just memorized in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's my shepherd. He supplies what I need. He looks after my needs. He makes sure that I'm safe. He restores my soul when I need to be restored. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I'm going through that valley, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. Prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies. Meets all our needs. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Choose you this day. Last thing. In the beginning of 2026, this is January 4. What if in your choosing today, whatever the Lord's placed on your heart, whether it's one or three or six things, whatever the Lord's placed on your heart, and you say, you know what, by God's grace, I'm going to commit this to him and ask him to help me because he's my Lord. Well, what happens on January 5th when you let down? You say, Father, I'm going to scrap this. I'm just going to talk the way I want to. I'm going to get angry the way I want to. I'm going to continue doing whatever the way I want to. I hope not. I hope we'll say this, Lord, will you please forgive me? I'm going to show, I want to do it. I want to do what I said I would do. And whatever it is that will help you keep your eyes on him in that area, choose you this day whom you will serve. You might be the only Christian in your home. You might be the only Christian in your home. Can I ask you, if you're the only Christian in your home, follow him. It's amazing what your family are seeing. It's amazing that they pay attention. They may not say so, but they pay attention. I label this morning as, for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We can't make anyone else serve the Lord, but it is our heart's desire. I'm going to do everything I can in my home to make it to where people can serve the Lord. How about us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for this challenge, this charge from Joshua, for his faithfulness, for his example. Led the people. He was courageous. He was bold. He trusted you in when it looked like circumstances just weren't possible, you made a way. And I pray, Father, that you would help us in this 2026. Sure, Lord, we've already let down in areas and this, that, and the other. But Lord, you're our Savior. You're not just a God way out there. You're a God that knows us. You're a God that wants us to be more and more like his son, your son. But Lord, you know we're but flesh. Help us, Lord, not to be willing to just walk in our own ways. Help us to walk in your values, to do things your way and not our own. Lord, whatever it is that we need to do to help us to do that, whether it's challenging ourselves. I pray you'd help us to be faithful. At home, school, at work, sport we are a part of, are there any number of other things that we're involved with? Help us, Lord, to serve the Lord faithfully. I pray, Father, that you would dismiss us now in your care, in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jared comes this morning, I have two questions. First of all, if you don't know Christ as Savior this morning, would you be willing to talk with me after the service? Be glad to chat with you about how you can know Christ as Savior. Second one is did the Lord put his finger on anything? Not necessarily that I said. Nope. The Lord put his finger on anything for you? And the last question with that is are you willing to commit that to him?